Now, Father, we thank you this morning for another time, yet again, to fellowship with one another by the access we have to your Spirit. We believe and receive that this house is your house. We believe and receive that there is revelation knowledge in this house. We believe and receive that there's an effortless flow of your Spirit in this house. We believe and receive that there's no distraction, either on our hearts or in this atmosphere. And together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. And all of this is glorified as we're edified, built up, empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, alongside those who hear us every day and the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you guys this morning? Ephesians 5:18. Now I'm going to be a little bit like the old sermons of those days. You know those old sermons? Number one, number two. Number three, I'm going to do that today, okay? Number one, we've laid the background, right? I think the background is clear enough for us, amen. I'm being filled with the Spirit. And we said, and that's the theme, really, being filled with the Spirit. And we said, the background, right, of the New Testament books are found in the Old Testament. Why? Because they're meant to be read together. I believe, and this is my strong persuasion, that the segmentation of the Bible hasn't helped us. I guess that those who did it for noble purposes, just like the person who did chapters and verses. Even though the guy that did the verses particularly has been mocked, not mocked, but sarcastically, you know, he was said to do it on a trip within Paris and think United Kingdom or London or so, I think so. So it's been said that, you know, because he was doing it in the chariot, in the horse, so as a welcome verse, welcome verse. Now it's a sarcasm between translators. Okay, so it's always a fun, you know, to talk about that. But noble things. But at the end of the day, I think we need to revisit how it's been read, and so that we can read it all together. A lot of us have been, I won't use the word cheated, but we have been deprived of some of the truth of God's word by that understanding of what it is. Somehow, when you read about salvation in the epistles, you think you won't find any purpose to it in the earth if you're not careful. It makes you almost see, so we are saved, and then, you know. But when you read the Bible, the entire counsel of God's word, and all the narratives and the themes of redemption, salvation, reconciliation, atonement, it becomes clear to you why you are saved. Amen. So that context is very critical in how we study. So we've done that. And so let's go to that subject of being filled with the Spirit. Now, you know, we read it in Luke 1:15. John the Baptist filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Luke 1:41. Elizabeth being filled with the Holy Ghost. She prophesied, spoke in a loud voice to her cousin Mary. Luke 1:67, where the man by the name of Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, prophesied concerning God's plan for the whole world through the nation of Israel. In Luke 4:1, it says, Jesus, being filled or full of the Spirit, was led by the Spirit. Look at the emphasis. Full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit. We're going to look at that too. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted of the devil. Then Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, picks on that theme in Acts 2 and verse 4. It says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, talking about the day of Pentecost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Of course, from verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And there came a sound from heaven, like as a washing mug, filled all the house where they were seated. They were appeared to them, verse 3, coals of fire set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 4, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So again in chapter 4, so that you know it's not a one-time experience, it says Peter being full of the Holy Ghost when he answered back the Pharisees and the elders. Then chapter 31 says, and when they had prayed, and the place where they prayed was shaken together, and it says that they were full or filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness, Acts 4:31 into 32. So again in Acts 6, where the church was called upon the apostles to solve a problem, distribution of food. Usually what causes division in churches is nothing spiritual, amen. It's about food, okay? And food still causes problems. Amen. You know, years back, and I can say this, we're organizing a meeting. We had prayed. This was 25 years ago. We had prayed. The meeting was called Holy Ghost Meeting. And what caused strife, amongst other things, was food. Brethren love food. So Acts 6:2, will not leave the word of God and serve tables. Choose you among yourselves 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So Luke explores the word full of the Holy Ghost a lot. In Acts 9 and verse 31, this is a bit different though. He says, and there was rest in all the churches, and the believers were edified, and they walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they multiplied. Acts 9:31. Then in Acts 13 and verse 9, Saul, that's Paul, being full of the Holy Ghost, said to Elymas, you are full of mischief. I mean, he's full of the Holy Ghost, the guy is full of mischief. You will see the sun for a season. Acts 13:52, it says the believers or the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. Filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. So we see that Luke wrote a lot about being filled with the Spirit. So in other words, Luke is saying that one of the ways to describe Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, is to speak about it as being filled with the Holy Ghost. I skipped one, just like I did yesterday. Acts 7:55, okay? He said, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up to heaven and said, I saw the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God. So he's full of the Holy Ghost, he saw. So yesterday night, which had been full of the Holy Ghost, involves revelation, right? It also involves miracles. Acts 13:9, miracles. There's also boldness. Acts 4:31, there's boldness to it. There's boldness. We're going to look at that in total. So being full, so when Paul instructs, now we've taken the background of being full of the Holy Ghost from the Old Testament, Genesis 1:28, where he says, replenish the earth. That's the word full. Replenish the earth. That's the word full. Also earlier on chapter, verse 21, again the word full is used, but this time around for the animals. Then again in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 through to 13, we saw that the earth was full of violence. Full of violence. Then God calls upon Noah in Genesis 9:1, to replenish the earth, to fill the earth. Of course, if you look at what he said to Abraham as well, Genesis 17:5-6, he repeats it to Abraham as well. Genesis 22 to Abraham concerning Isaac. Again, Genesis 28 from verse 14 through to 16 says it to Jacob. Then we saw it in Exodus 1:7. Where the nation of Israel also filled Egypt. And then Pharaoh was, he was jittery, uncomfortable. And so being filled has to do with increase, has to do with influence, authority, power, and all that, dominion. We saw that the other day. And we also saw that it involved a man by the name of Bezalel, who was supposed to be somebody who helped in building the tabernacle. Okay, and he is full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and understanding and skill. And Exodus 31 and verse 3. Okay, so we said full means increase. It means to have influence. So if you are full of the Spirit, it means you are influenced by the Spirit. You are full of the Spirit. Of course, not to forget the word filled with the glory of God. The earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Numbers 14:21. We've been there. Psalm 72:19, where it says the earth is filled with glory. And then you have Isaiah chapter 6. The old earth is full of your glory. Verse 3. Isaiah 11:9-10. We saw that also, knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Habakkuk 2:14, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Haggai 2:6-9. So we see fullness. And I used the illustration yesterday about the space and being filled, fulfilled. So you can use another way to say full is fulfilled. to fulfill the purpose for a thing, to fulfill the reason for it. Are you here? Are you here? So when Paul gives the instruction, of course, we read the prayer in chapter 3, verse 16, that you are strengthened with might, according to the riches of his glory, strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith, all right, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, and might comprehend with all the saints, that's Ephesians 3, 16, 17, 18, might comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the breadth, the height, and the width, you know, and to know the love of God that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. Unto him, verse 20, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. To him be glory in the church. All right? It says, throughout the ages, world without end, then through Jesus Christ, and throughout the ages, world without end, and it says, Amen. So which means that God's plan is that through the church, he fills the earth with his influence. In Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul also prayed, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory, again, of the inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness, 19, of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above, all principalities, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And had put all things under his feet, and gave him to the head of all things to the church, even his body, the fullness, verse 22 to 23, of him that filleth all in all. So God is about fullness. Fullness. Fullness is all through the Bible. God is about fullness. Fullness has to do with increase. It has to do with, you know, multiplication. God is about fullness. Are you here? So when Paul now says, be filled with the Spirit, you know, we read it from 14 when it says, arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. Then he says, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's what he tells the church. And he says that do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then he says, but be not drunk with wine, when in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, so look at it. It talks about you taking care of your appetite, then having an appetite for the Spirit. Having room for the Spirit to influence you. Now, I don't know about alcohol. The first and the last time that I took alcohol, I was just about 4 years old. And I just saw something that looked like red. And it was in someone's bar, a neighbor. So I found my way, four or five. And I found my way there, and I just was gulping. It was very sweet. I was gulping the thing till I started seeing heaven and earth in the same place. And it was like Jacob's vision. My own just didn't come from God. You know, so that was the last time I can remember. But one thing about short things is that they influence, they control, okay? So by using that first, Paul is saying there's a control of the Spirit that every believer should have. Be filled with the Spirit. So what are the marks of someone being filled with the Spirit? The first thing is, when you are full of the Spirit, when you are full of the Spirit, we will know. It's not an Eden testimony. When people are, notice that people often write, he was full of the Spirit. So when someone is full of the Spirit, we will know. How many want a church full of the Spirit? Let me see your hand. Full of the Spirit. You know, we're singing, we're changing lives. To the gospel of Christ, we're changing lives. We're raising men full of the Spirit. Let's see what it means. Full of the Spirit, right? What we saw in Luke was that people that are full, we will know. You can't say, I'm filled with the Spirit. No, we're waiting to see it. I'm full of the Spirit. We're waiting to see it. You know, so full of the Holy Ghost, is something that is evident. Brother Hagin, in his book, there are two I can recommend quickly. Following God's Plan for Your Life, he spoke about this, and he said that the same way, health is discernible. You can discern if someone is fine or not. You can discern if a believer is okay. Because that's how we pick people. Full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. So the first thing we see is in utterances. Utterances. Or supernatural utterances. Supernatural utterances let us know that a man is full of the Spirit. So if a man is full of the Spirit in this church, we will know by supernatural utterances. You know, it's not the guy, you know, in the world, we know people by the kind of jokes they give, the kind of humor. The guy is very humorous, and that's nice. It's good to be humorous. But you see, that's not a mark of being full of the Spirit. Being full of the Spirit are the words inspired by the Holy Ghost that you say often. So, supernatural utterances. And that will also come in with supernatural revelation, because we found out the utterances came alongside the revelation. In the case of Elizabeth, in the case of her husband Zachariah, what a couple they are, you know, husband and wife prophesying. Amen. Is that cool, right? Husband and wife prophesying, you know, at the same time. You get it? And you could see why it was very easy, not easy as well, it was not difficult to have both of them believe God together. Because they prophesied, you know, they could yield to the Holy Ghost. Amen. I mean, at that old age, should have given up on having children. But you could see that the woman, it was in faith. She could align with God's plan so easily. Amen. And you know, that's cool. So they're full of the Holy Ghost. You have supernatural utterances that comes alongside with divine revelation. So that means if in Acts 2:4 the whole church was full of the Holy Ghost, we should have a local assembly. Let's do it like this. How many of us here house churches or cell group pastors here, leaders? Raise your hand. You know, usually the house churches or cell group, they're smaller than the normal church, the bigger church. That is normal church. But they I don't want to use small, but I just say that. I don't like using the word small for what God is doing. They are different. Yeah. They are different from the main church. You know, but you have a sizable number that you can disciple. I'm not saying you should stay with that number. But what about making sure that every member of your cell is full of the Spirit? Imagine if all the cell group leaders are like that. It's going to reflect in the church, right? Will have set a pattern. Remember years ago, I was made a group leader in a camp meeting, the Youth Foundation camp meeting. I'm a product of a Youth Foundation camp meeting founded by brother, we call him Uncle Shola, Brother Shola Oladede. He's been the singular person that has known me for many years. You know, he's the person that I asked the dumb best questions a Christian can ask. So he knows some of the dumb questions I asked him years ago. You know, a great man and always a great man. You know, so he's been there. I've known him for years. So he made me a group leader. That's to be 94, 3. I think it's 3. And then I was made a group leader. So that group, usually, I mean, you are supposed to preach, yeah, but also do some other things, you know, because it was a youth meeting. So we oftentimes will have people do all this group presentations and stuff like that. You know, my group was 12 out of 15. The group presentation. The reason was that we didn't even spend time on it. I spent time just teaching. That's what I did. But I'm saying this for a purpose. Now, when I was called upon, because I was the meeting held in Ibadan, because I was pastoring in Lagos then. So I came, I brought a lot of people in a bus to come for the camp. And came to camp. So I had taken time to fast throughout the meeting, throughout. So besides that, before the meeting and throughout the meeting, in fact, it was a meeting that, now don't try this one. I didn't bat an eyelid till the last day. I didn't sleep. I decided to join the intercessory group that prayed every night. So how I would do my group meetings, and successful group will finish by 4 or so, then I have my group meetings like 5 o'clock. So I was just, you know, doing the meetings and all that. But I ensured that every member, because they'll bring people from everywhere, from young people, everybody. So I got everybody filled with the Holy Ghost, they all spoke in tongues. And I found out that a sizable number in that group are pastors today. You won't know the kind of seeds that you're sowing. I saw one of their twins, actually. I saw one of them, a lady. I think she pastors now in America or so. And I said, well, remember that time I was prophesying right there? Because we meet on the grass and sometimes in the classrooms. So I ensured that everybody in the group were filled with the Spirit. You know you can do that. You know you can do that? You know, I used to hear that, hey, you know, people normally flow with the Holy Ghost when the church is not more than 100 or 50. But, well, we have broken that jinx. Okay? it's not true. Okay? Just set a pattern. So everybody can be filled with the Spirit. Imagine if we monitor the spiritual health of every believer from the cell groups, what an impact we're going to have in the church. Are you here? So, supernatural utterance. You learn from that? Okay. Supernatural utterances that come with supernatural revelation. Okay. That's the mark of being full of the Holy. So they knew in Acts who are those people full of the Holy Ghost. They could see it. Now, like I love to say, they say, look for among yourselves 7 men. So which means that eventually the people that could replicate the apostles' lifestyle and character were just those 7 guys. Maybe more, really. But those were the 7 that they picked up. 7. So, that said, the first mark, full of the Holy Ghost. Luke 4:1, led by the Spirit. Where you are full of the Spirit, you are led by the Spirit. You are full of the Spirit, you are led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit, verse 16, that we are the children of God. If you are children, heirs of God, and joint heirs together with Jesus. So 1, supernatural utterances. 2, the leading of the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit. That's the second thing. The third is good behavior. Good character. Godly character. Full of the Holy Ghost. Remember, in that Acts 6, it said, of honest report. Honest report. You know, that means we also find good character. Honest report. Those who are exemplary believers. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Be thou an example of the believers. He says in word, in love, in conversation, in faithfulness, you know, in spirit. Be an example of the believers. In conduct as well, which is the word there, conversation. In examples. So we see it in the exemplary life of the person. So number 1, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, what's the first one? Supernatural utterances that come alongside with what? Supernatural revelation. Number 2, the leading of, number 3. Now number 4, Acts 4:31. They spoke the word of God with boldness. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will preach the gospel. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will preach the gospel. Now look at that, Stephen, Acts 6. Stephen was one of them. They put Stephen and Philip. Then Acts 6:8 now tells us that Stephen, being full of faith and the power of God. So he's full of faith. He did many miracles. And then he preached one of the longest sermons in the book of Acts. And one of those guys too was Philip. Acts 8:5, Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ and the whole city. So you have fervent evangelism is a mark of being full of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for rejoicing in the meetings. We're going to talk about that. But fervent evangelism with signs and wonders is a mark of a fellow who is full of the Holy Ghost. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will preach the gospel. Acts 13. Paul and Barnabas, you know, they also went to speak to preach. And then John Mark was there, obviously. And they had this Simon the sorcerer who was trying to, bad Jesus, who was trying to be funny. You know, Elimas the sorcerer, he was trying to be funny. And Paul was preaching to the deputy, that's somebody in the office, in a governmental office. And the Bible says that when they saw the miracles, that guy was astonished at the doctrine, verse 12, and the doctrine of the Lord. He has at the message, the teaching of the Lord. So you saw that. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you preach the gospel. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you preach the gospel. So if you're full of the Holy Ghost, we will see it in a consistent fervency in preaching the gospel. So let's take it again. Number one. Accompanied with what? Revelation. Number two. You're led by the Spirit. Number three. Godly character. Number four. Boldness in preaching the gospel. Actually, I didn't say boldness. So I said preaching the gospel. I was going to add boldness. There's a boldness that comes with being full of the Holy Ghost. Now, Acts 13:9, you can see that Paul was bold. Acts 4:8, Peter was bold when he spoke before the elders. So that in verse 13, they took knowledge of the fact that they had been with Jesus. They said, these guys are not as learned, but there's something different about them. So when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you are bold. There's a boldness to how you preach the gospel. You cannot be full of the Holy Ghost and be timid. No, you can't be. So number one, let's go again. Number one, accompanied with supernatural revelation. Number two, you're led by the Spirit. Number three, godly character. Number four, preaching the gospel. Number five, boldness in the work of the ministry. Boldness. So there's boldness to it. Boldness. All right? Now, look at Acts again. Acts 13 and 52. It says, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. Filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. Filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. So what do we have there? When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you are full of joy. Hallelujah. You are full of joy. And you know, being filled with joy can be seen. It means that what is filled again? Control, influence. Now when joy controls you, you give a laugh, you give a leap, you have actions to it. Just like in Luke 10 and 17, when they came back from the evangelism, they said, Lord, even the demons or devils are subject to us through your name. Then he said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Verse 18. Verse 19, Luke 10. Behold, I give you power and authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Verse 20, that the demons are subject to you through my name, but that your names are in heaven, written in heaven. Then in verse 21, in that hour, he says, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Okay? Full of the Holy Ghost, rejoiced in the Spirit, then said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven. Which means that in the joy you have what? Utterances. Are you here? So full of the Holy Ghost, you are filled with joy. You are filled with joy. So let's go over again. Number one, spiritual utterances accompanied with revelation. Number two, you're led by the Spirit. Number three, godly good conduct. Number four, preaching the gospel. Number five, boldness in the work of the ministry. Number six, joy. Full of joy. Full of joy. So when Paul is praying that he should pray for, and praying for believers that they are filled with the fullness of God, this is the result. This is the result. Full of joy. Full of joy. That's number one. Number six. Now look at Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want you to open to Colossians 3, which is very synonymous instruction. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Did you notice it says singing? Now, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine when in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, sing it, right? And making melody in your heart. So, one characteristic of someone who's full of the Holy Ghost, he is what? Singing. Singing. Now, I realize that we have different keys. Some of us, our keys won't enter any. But don't forget, it's for the Lord. There are some guys, when they sing, he will think it's to who, wabohu. It's good to sing that way. You know, there are some guys, some of the pastors in church, you know, they are critics of singing. But they cannot criticize themselves. When they start singing, just start listening. Don't join them to sing or else there will be chaos. So that you can know what they are saying. You know, but singing and making melody. So which means that I often say that the believer's spirit is a singing spirit. We're given instructions to sing. We sing. We sing. We sing making melody in our hearts. Making melody. Of course, right there, you know, he says that spiritual songs. Now, people often ask whether it is psalms plus hymns plus spiritual songs. I said no. It's synonyms. The psalm is a hymn. The psalm is like saying a car, then you say a sedan. Okay, let's say a car, SUV, and you say V8. Eight cylinders, huh? You want to say something? You want to say Rolls Royce? I like that part, you know? Like a prophecy. Do you get it? So, it's like psalms, hymns, okay? Spiritual songs. Which means that the psalm is a hymn, and it's spiritual because it's given to you by the Holy Ghost. That brings in tongues, right? An interpretation of tongues. Are you there? Good. So, you sing. Now, you know, When we give God praise in tongues, we can put melody in it. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, Paul says, if I pray in the Spirit, if I pray in tongues, I speak in tongues. He says, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. How is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. He said, I will sing with the Spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So else, if I bless with the Spirit, how shall he that he occupies the room with the learned say amen at my giving of thanks, seeing that, you know, he doesn't understand what I'm saying. He said, thou verily give thanks well, but the other one is not edified. So I sing in tongues. I sing in tongues. Let's sing in tongues. Let's try that one. Let's sing in tongues. Let's sing in tongues. Let's sing in tongues. For just 1 minute, sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. Now, sing in your understanding what you sang in tongues. Sing in your understanding. Hallelujah. That's what Paul was saying. Sing in tongues and sing in your understanding. So, when we're filled with the Spirit, we are singing, right? We are singing. And I believe some of us, we got to the fringes of it maybe earlier on, when somehow you just be finding yourself singing, you know, singing. And for some of us, you probably didn't know, you just start whistling, you know. It's just at the door. Amen. sing. So let's start it. Number one. I can't remember what? Revelation. Number two. You let. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Full of joy. Number seven. Singing. Number eight. It says giving thanks. Hallelujah. Giving thanks. So giving thanks is a mark, a characteristic of being full of the Spirit. Giving thanks. I thank you, O Father. Luke 10, 21 and 22. I thank you, O Father. You notice that also Elizabeth gave thanks to God. Luke 1, 41 to 43, 44. You notice also that Zechariah did the same thing. You are giving thanks to God. 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 There are instructions in scripture to always give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray without ceasing. Then it says, giving thanks. You know, we always stop with the prayer part. Look at, let's see 1 Thessalonians. Let me show you something there. You know, and imagine if it's not in verses. And it's just a single sentence. You won't separate it. I read the other day. 16 says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Hallelujah. How many times? Evermore. Anytime you read it, it's going to be, do it now. Rejoice evermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray without ceasing. Then it says, giving thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything. Do you know why we give thanks? Because the earth is his temple. We have to praise him all the time in his earth. So we give thanks. Give thanks always. Give thanks. You know, there are people that pray and don't give thanks. They say, I'm praying about it, oh. I'm praying about it, oh. You know how I'm giving thanks about it. I'm giving thanks about it. You are told to also give thanks about it. Not just to pray about it, but to also give thanks about it. You know, the way we pray for our country is very interesting. You know, 1 Timothy 2, look at it. It says, first of all, intercessions, supplications, prayers, and what else? Giving of thanks. Be made for all men. For who? Verse 2 now. Put into this language. For your president. Yes. Giving thanks. And for those who are in authority, you give thanks. You give thanks. You give thanks. You give thanks. You know, some of us, the way we can murmur, we don't know we're walking in sin. We're always complaining. We're always complaining. I told you that day there was a brother like that. We called him Bishop afterwards. Whenever he's responding, he's always murmuring. How are you? Oh, fine. What's happening? I don't know. Some guys just have a whine in their voice. A whine. They just whine naturally. They think life has not been fair. Their father and mother met in secondary school. They did not marry. They gave birth to them. You know, some of them are so funny. You are 30. You are still talking about your father and mother. You say, my background. When you are 30, you are now the background. Someone was talking to me. In his 30s, he said, Popsy. I said, what did you just say? Popsy. Daddy said, are you well? He'll complain. And when they were young, the mother sent them to an uncle. The uncle didn't treat them well. How old are you now? You are still talking about uncle. The uncle probably has died, though. He said, the uncle, and now the uncle, in those days, he would give his own children rice. He would give me water. And I said, is he still giving you rice? Sometimes we just like complaining. Complain. Let me ask you a question. This is just about your country. If I was in Nigeria, I would say it in a better way. Do you know there's never been a time anybody said the country is good? Go and check. We are just inoculated with complaining. We just grumble. The guy grumbling will buy a new car. Have you ever wondered? People say, there's no money. Wait till there's a fraud. Maybe all this in Nigeria, there's MMM. I don't think that thing got here. Where people will say, there's one scheme. Come and put down 10,000. You get 200. Uh-huh. You are always shocked at the level of the funds involved in those things. People say, there's no money. Let there be a scam. You will see that there has been money. Don't let there be a scam. You just hear big money, 100 billion. From where? Somebody will not be confessing to you that, Pastor, I also put some money. How much? You not be hearing money. There was even one who told me, said, Pastor, I said, go catch you. If we are saying you come and give me church, you will have said, hey, you have something to do. You see? You know, we say, I watch my treasures grow as I let it go. What I give to God, I never lose. This one, you gave it to scam. It's gone. It's gone forever. Eternally. And they'll be complaining. I don't know. Mumbling is a sin. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without complaining. Do you know that? Paul wrote those letters to churches that were under persecution. Under persecution. He wrote letters to churches that, you know, they'll come and flog them out of the services. Oh. Peter wrote to churches in Asia that they were literally burning Christians. And he says, let there be no guile found in your mouth. He said, you will honor your masters, including those who are not good guys. He said, look at the example of Jesus. That, you know, Jesus' days, they had poverty. They had oppression. Jesus never came to criticize the government. He didn't. The people he took on were the religious leaders. Such that when Pilate and Herod were not friends. But on top of Jesus, they sent themselves emails. And he chatted on WhatsApp. He said, okay, oh boy, how are you? Adeo. This Jesus guy, what did he say? The guy didn't do anything though. The government couldn't find anything that he did. They didn't see anything in his speech. He didn't say anything. He didn't say he's fighting for the rights of the body of Christ. No. Nothing. Pilate did not see anything. The same happened to Paul. The king, Agrippa, said, there's nothing this guy has done. If he had not appealed to Caesar, we'll have let him go. He didn't do anything. It was religious leaders that got them into trouble. Both Jesus and Paul. So Peter now said that when Jesus was brought before his persecutors, he said he did not return insult for insult. There was nothing found in him. He committed himself, 1 Peter 2, to the one that judges righteously. No, not a single halter of complaining. Someone can complain. Oh, you think you're a bee? Just complaining. And in fact, sometimes in church, you know, and some people, they like to. I was talking to a pastor yesterday, so we're talking about, some of my friends who talked about it. You know, I used to be the president of my class set, my alumni, for about 10 years. I was president. I was at school for about 13 years. So, usually, you know, when we want to do stuff, people will talk about the country. They will complain. This country. Now, whenever I say, now let us do something, you see, quiet. It's like there was silence in heaven. No. Okay, let's do something back to our school. Let's put something. People just, it's like their WhatsApp just goes dead. You know, people like to complain a lot. But now let's act. Let's do something. They'll keep quiet. There was someone like that in church. You know, years ago, she just came to me. It was one of those camp meetings. And then, I think she had paid for CDs. We were doing CDs then. She came and said, no, Shuni came to me. So I saw them at the tape stand. So she was talking to Pastor Ayo then, and he used to be in charge of the tapes. And she was saying, where is my tape? I paid for it. People think, that is not normal, though. She's me. So I got there. I said, what's going on? I paid for this. I said, okay. So no problem. I said, you too. Why have you not given us a CD? I will say, I'm sorry, sir. This is someone that during the meeting will go and dub. You know those who go and dub CD. Go and dub CD overnight. Come tired in the morning, no? That's the person you are complaining about. I said, why didn't you give us a CD? Say, sir, they have the production. I said, go and get our CDs now. You know how you get those things. He went to get it and gave it to her. She said, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. As she was about to go, I said, no. Don't go yet. Reverend Friday Dow, who I served under in the 90s, had something. He said, it's not he that sees a need that is blessed, but he that meets the needs. For you to have waited for 3 months for CD, that means there is a vacancy in that department. You will now join that department so that nobody will be complaining again of CDs. Say, ah! I said, oh. That was the last time she would complain. Because you will see what it takes to produce it. When you say, what happened now? The meeting ought to have started by 9. It's 9:15. The prayer has not started. When you join leadership, you will know why it did not start. You will know why we couldn't start at 9. You will know. You know, we are all best parents till we start having children. We knew how to. No! There was a friend of mine like that. He and another friend did business. The business now went bad. So they think, and you know, when people have business programs, they just leave Zion and go straight to Mount Ebal. I was like cursing. I said, okay. So I resolved the matter. He said, no, he gave the money to another person to do business for him. So the thing went bad. So he said, when I start my own business, I know I've set up my own business. I'm going to do this. I'm going in 6 months. In this, he had planned out. And you know how to pitch ideas now. When you make presentation, everything is very smooth. Say, you know, in 6 months, this will be in 6 months, in 3 months, in 3 months. I said, no, bro, I now told the other friend that, we are all friends. I said, just watch him. After 3 months, the thing collapsed. That's how it is. Have you found out those people who criticize government? The government, when they get to government, they perform worse. There was one coach like that. He used to be an analyst on TV. He'll be analyzing. He should have played. Rio Ferdinand should be playing in the, this one should be, they not made him a coach. He did not win any game. They have to sack him. Sometimes we are complaining because we are proud. So, you know, when you are full of the Holy Ghost, you are full of what? Thanks. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice again, I say rejoice. It says, let your moderation, verse 5, be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for some things. Be anxious for almost, be anxious for nothing. In prayer, supplication, together with what? Thanksgiving. The prayer without thanksgiving is complaining. Prayer without thanksgiving is complaining. You know what people say? People say, well, I'm a faith man. And I'm a word of faith man forever. We often say that the giving thanks is you thank God for answered prayer. There's nowhere. He just says give thanks. That is that thing you are praying about. Still thank God in the midst of it. He's not saying, no, you know, we think the giving thanks is like, okay, Father, let me give you an instance. Father, I want a new job. I thank you because I have it. No. Father, I want a new job.
I'm thankful you are my father. I'm thankful that you have saved me. It's not I'm thanking you for the job I've not gotten. Because when you pray without thanksgiving, you have just complained. Are you here? So, people who are full of thanks are full of the Spirit. Anyone like that? You want to just thank God? Thank God for everything. Come on. Thank Him. Just 1 minute, just thank God. Just be full of thanks. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. I'm grateful, Lord. Thank Him. Thank Him. Hallelujah. Sit down. The last one, Ephesians 5:18. Learning something? Be not drunk with wine, when the excess be full of the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take 21 together. Submitting yourselves to one another. People who are full of the Spirit are submissive. They are easy to get along with. They are easy to relate with. You can't be full of the Spirit and rebellious. You can't be full of the Spirit and we cannot get along with. You know, some brethren, when you see them coming, you're over. We are far. They just, anything, when we are all agreeing, they will disagree. They just say, I think it should not be like that. They're just like that. Me, I won't do it. You know, there are people like that. When you are full of the Spirit, you are submissive. He says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. People that are always arguing all over the place, they are not full of the Spirit. Always arguing. Always arguing. You know, and you know, sometimes you can think that when you are a word person, one of the fruit of word person is that you are arguing. You be arguing scripture on Facebook or Twitter, going from one word to another. You are wrong. You are right. You are wrong. Oh boy. Go and be filled with the Spirit. Not you are just difficult to get along with. At the office, people cannot relate with you. You're just not submissive to one another. To one another in the fear of the Lord. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are submissive. If you're a worker in this church, we are full of the Spirit, we are submissive. You're submissive. Wife, submissive. Men and women, submissive. When you are full of the Spirit, you are submissive. Because one of the things about the fullness of the Spirit is you are a servant. You serve. You don't put self first. You don't put self first. The way believers think is about the other person first. It's not self first. It's about the other person. Think about coming to church late. You know, do you think about others when you come to church late? I tell people oftentimes that imagine if we all arrived when you arrived. That time that you arrived, if we all arrived that time, all of us, service started maybe 8 o'clock, you came in 8:15, and everybody arrived 8:15. Obviously, the service will not start at 8 o'clock. It probably start like 9, right? Imagine if we all do like you do. You don't join any department in church. We say, well, we are all waiting. People will say, well, I don't want to give my commitment yet. I want to study things. You know, I can't just give my commitment to a church. Yet, they will ask a girl out the first day they see her. You didn't wait. Say, I like you. Can I have your number? Immediately. But when it comes to church, you are praying. What nonsense. You serve. Hallelujah. You know, you say, I'm thinking about it. What are you thinking about? Go join a department. Be submissive. You don't want to be. People that don't join the department, they are not submissive people. Because they will have to be told what to do. That's why they don't join. It's not your age that is a problem. People are older than you. They are in departments. It's just that you are not submissive. You don't want to be told, come on Tuesday. Ah, no. The reason why you come on Sunday is because you think that's the one God wants.
That Tuesday one is Pastor Gilbert's problem. That Thursday one. But the one God wants is Sunday. You know, because you have been going to church on Sunday before you joined this church. So there's no big deal if you come on Sunday. Amen? And if you are from a Christian home, they've been forcing you. So there's no big deal if you come on Sundays. Church is not a Sunday affair. Is that clear? It's not a Sunday affair. So if you are full of the Spirit, you are submissive. You are easy to get along with. No matter who you are, you could be the MD of a bank. But when you are in church, we see the spirit of a believer. We see it. We don't even know who you are. It's not that everybody is going to be worshiping God, raising their hands, and because we lift our hands. Everybody say, we lift our hands because you're the chairman of an oil company. We lift our hands. They must not see you, you know. And people like that, when they go to their doctors, they open everything, you know. That's between life and death. You're coming to know you're forming. You're forming for who? You know that? Raise your hands! Oh boy! You're in God's temple. It's bigger than you. Raise your hands! Come with everybody's taking notes. Say, I like what he's saying. It's making sense. What's that? Hallelujah. See, I'm submissive. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. So let's run through them together. Number one. So you know, can you see how we can know those who are full of the Spirit? We can see it. Number one. Let's take it again. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Boldness. Number six. Filled with joy. Number seven. Number eight. Number nine. Submissive attitude. Hallelujah. So you can be filled with the Spirit. How? By speaking. I say I'm submissive. I say I'm full of joy. I say I give thanks always. I'm not a complainer. I'm not a murmurer. I'm not a murmurer. Hallelujah. You learn something? You're blessed. Stand to our feet and just give thanks.